the future of retail. Every few weeks, Maurice Misiolaski joins us on the program, our business futurist, and looks at different issues. And today, the future of retail is on the agenda. Good morning, Maurice.
Yeah, hello, how are you?
Good morning. Great to have you on the program again. Let's talk about shopping in the future. It's come a long way in the last few years as we've all got used to having a sort of goosey gander online and suddenly say, oh, well, that looks all right. That's a good price. Let's click a button, pay with a credit card, and off it comes. And it arrives a few days later and you look at it and go, well, that wasn't what it looked like in the picture. Let's send it back again.
Or it doesn't fit the way I hoped it would.
Exactly. And that has changed a lot from the world that we used to live in. Where's it going to go from now?
So I think we're on an interesting trajectory. We're over the point where we have to make a choice. You know, for the last 5 or 6 years, I've heard a lot of doom and gloom from physical retailers about the world ending for them. The sky was falling and this new online thing was going to be the end of them. We've all tamed ourselves since then. We know that we can get our products in a myriad of ways. We can get them on our phone, we can get them in store, we can get them online, or in fact, we could get a combination of all of them. Yes. We're going to move further down the road from that now, and we're really going to look at what's best placed for whatever it is we're buying in whatever situation it is. But Woolies has actually put out an interesting white paper on this, on how they saw supermarket shopping in the next 10 or 15 years. And their view of it is somewhat different. They're talking about the way that alphas, which are the generation that are being born now, the 2010s, are going to shop in 2030, as if we hadn't looked far enough ahead already.
I didn't know they were called alphas. That's a great name.
Well, not really, but demographers are so boring with the name, with the way they name things. I mean, X's, Y's and Z's.
Now they've like gone alphas.
Yeah, they've gone to a whole word now, alpha.
Okay, so what are alphas? What are alphas going to be experiencing? Maybe we could come along for the ride.
Well, absolutely. So again, alphas are those who were born 2010 plus, and they looked at them a few years from here. So they actually had some interesting comments. Some of them, which I'm not quite sure about, and I don't know whether I agree. The one which is not around shopping, but in their general behaviour, is that they were hypothesising that one in three alphas who got married or who coupled up would not have children. So they were espousing the fact that our population would begin to not diminish, but to certainly go down after the generation alphas came on board. So I found that to be quite interesting in the report, but that was an aside. So the alphas are going to be shopping on a more frequent basis, which is something we're seeing with our shoppers now. Historically, really up until about 5-6 years ago, most people, when they went shopping, and it was predominantly female, even that recent, went shopping once a week with a big basket and a shopping list. We're finding now that people are grazing and that they're coming into store, especially retail stores and especially supermarkets, 2 or 3 times a week now for smaller shops, and they're buying a smaller amount of items and looking for more fresh and more local. And that's one of the big trends moving forwards, this notion of fresh and local. We're also going to see that the alphas are going to shop in a more frequent manner again, and most probably as their counterparts, the Gen X, the Gen Ys and the Gen Zs, maybe go into store every day and pick up items along the way as they need them for that night's meal.
Mm-hmm. So what about that big bulky shop at the weekend? Is that not something that they will do?
Apparently not. And we actually see that dwindling anyway now. But for them, it's going to be really a matter of smaller shops. And the way that Woolworths, and this I do agree with them, sees it is that the things that you and I buy routinely, in other words, the things that are in cans or in packets, those sorts of things, will most probably be automated and ordered for you by some sort of system you have at home and delivered to you. So what you'll go into store for is really more about the fresh produce, about the local produce, and as I term it, the theatre. Because strangely enough, we actually like going shopping. Now, I know many listeners are screaming at the radio and saying they don't, but as a herd mentality, which is what we have, many people actually enjoy the experience, even though they may say they don't, actually getting out and seeing and touching and feeling the produce. And we've seen that with this online experience, where one of the big pushbacks has been exactly that. I can't touch, I can't see, I can't experience it in any great way.
How can the online experience change to make that better, Maurice?
Oh, this is where technology comes into it. So we go back into science fiction land, which is science fact. What we're getting are a whole lot of new technologies just on the horizon. We are about 2 years away, I'd say, from getting a mobile phone screen or something equivalent to that actually has the ability to let us feel what something feels like. So what you'll be able to do is, for instance, if you're looking at a dress and you want to touch the velvet or the cotton and actually get that sensation of what it is, you'll be able to touch your screen and to get a very, very close sensation to what that thing might be. Now, I know that sounds science fiction, but I've actually felt it, and it's not bad. I mean, if you closed your eyes, I don't know whether you would actually say that you were touching cotton or velvet, but you would certainly get the sensation that it was close to that.
That's extraordinary. Yeah. I mean, I think that's quite weird.
It is, and it is out there. So in prototype land, we're only a couple of years away, I think. We're getting devices now that can smell for us. So the ones that I've seen are attachments. They mostly go in the earphone of a mobile phone that you would have now, and they are a little plug-in, so to speak, and not very big at all. And if you put them in front of something, they'll smell it for you and give you information. So the application that I must come across is the one for wine. If you put it up to a bottle of wine, it'll actually give you, which I don't understand any of, but the notes and the colours and the ochres and the chocolates and whatever else, it'll actually give you indications of that. And in medicine, I've seen some prototypes where they're using them because the nose, the smell, is actually an indicator of some ailments. And they actually have cancer dogs. Now, that is not dogs that have cancer, thankfully, but dogs that are able to smell it out. They're not quite sure why and how and what it is, but they're using that understanding to be able to start to use it for smell. So your question was, well, how will we use this for technology on online? The answer is that we will have lots of things online or digitally that we'll be able to use to give us some of that experience, but I still don't think it's going to become the dominant shopping factor for us.
It's so interesting, though, when you look at what is potentially coming around the corner. If you just look at the way that we could start to benefit now, and you mentioned at the beginning how everyone was saying, you know, especially if you're involved in a hard sort of place, you know, you're paying for rent and things like that, that you were doomed because you couldn't compete with the online prices that they charge. And yet, the advantage, Morris, the places that actually exist today is that they can do things which you can't do online. So you can provide wonderful service. You can provide a fantastic experience. You can provide the taste, the touch, the feel, the experience, the emotions, all that, which is going to be so hard online. And that will always be the case. Is that not true?
I would agree. Now, I think you can actually achieve both in both spaces, but it's a matter of what's appropriate to each audience. But I go back to that herd mentality that many people do like to go out. There's a sense of theatre, especially in the Western world. They want to go out. They want to be involved. Yeah. And where we're getting really good brand loyalty is where people are doing what you've just described. If I go into the store and you truly treat me like an individual, not like a number, you actually take the time to greet me and to work out who and what I am, I will come back to you over and over again. Mm-hmm. I go to one menswear store here, which is a large chain, not going to mention them. Now, I had the most extraordinary experience when I went in there about a year and a half ago from a gentleman who just went above and beyond to find me an outfit that would work for a particular occasion. I mean, really above and beyond. And I now go back to him every 2 or 3 months. I say hello when I'm walking past. And all he did was really spend, what, 3-4 more minutes of his life trying to get me to understand him.
Yeah.
And I've gone back and I've recommended and I've told you. I haven't told you who it is. But that's what we're talking about. You and I crave for that kind of intimacy. Yeah. And where we can achieve it is where we will buy. And we can, again, do it online. We can, but not the same sorts of things. It's a matter of being appropriate. Let's not be defeatist. And that's the thing I don't like about retailers that I work with, when they have that defeatist mentality.
Yes,
it's
good
a matter
point. It's a very good point. Morris Mizulewski is with us. We're talking about the future of retail. We've opened the conversation on our Facebook page as well, if you want to join that, discussing the future of retail and how you see yourself shopping in 10 years, 20 years' time. Great comment from Inez, who lives rurally. She walks 10 metres to the news agency, 30 metres to the post office, 40 to the grocers, and the same in the opposite direction for hardware, the butchers, and the bank. She says, why change? And, you know, that's a lovely existence. It's just not that easy for everybody now to do all of that so locally. It's true, isn't it?
It absolutely is. And we really are pushing back to that. If you take it back to the supermarkets for a moment, and if some of your listeners have been into the newly developed supermarkets, or the big chains predominantly, you'll find that they're trying to give that kind of an experience. Now, we know it's made up. We get that. But what they're doing is they're putting little kiosks, so to speak, around the edges. So instead of just going up to the counter and buying fish, you actually go up to something that looks like the old-fashioned fishmonger. And you might go up to the butcher, and you might go up to the baker. And they're giving us lots of these experiences because of what you've just said, that they know that we like the old village experience, but we haven't had it for so long. And they're putting happy, smiling people into each of those different departments with a viewpoint of engaging them as if it is their own small business. And that's what we want. That really is what we need. And our strip shopping centres, I think, are in for a renaissance too. They've kind of dwindled for the last 20 years, 10 years specifically. But they're coming back. They're coming back as community centres. We see lots of cafes, lots of restaurants, lots of meeting places, lots of service places. And I think 10 years, 15 years from now, we'll start to see that they're coming back with the grocers and the butchers and the other things as we get into a space where we are really hyper-personalised. In other words, we want produce from just around Perth or just around somewhere else. We're willing to pay for it, which is why we haven't had them up until now, willing to pay for it, and we value them. So our strip shopping centres are not down and out. They just need to evolve and reinvent themselves.
Fascinating. Just one final word from you, Morris. I want a prediction. The biggest change that we will see perhaps in 10, 15, 20 years, something that we don't do today that we will do then.
Generally or across the board?
Retail.
With retail. I think retail is really going to be about predictive. That what we're going to be able to do is really find out what and where we want it before we even know we do. When we walk into a store, it'll tell us that our closet is missing XYZ or our pantry doesn't have this, that or the other, and be able to give us that sort of insight. When we want to buy something, it'll be able to match it up to what we have. So I think we will be shopping with a lot more knowledge and a lot more insight and be more purposeful about it when we want to. And when we don't, let's wander around the shopping centre and just have some fun.
Great stuff. Appreciate your time as ever, Morris. Have a great weekend, and we'll chat to you again in a few weeks.
Look forward to it.
Thank you, Morris. Morris Mizalaski, our business futurist, with us every few weeks. On